Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
As I said at the start, it was 6 years ago. Hard to believe it's been that long. And it's not going to happen that again, that we're not going to wait 6 years to get my next guest back on. But it was 6 years ago that I talked with Jason Stanford about Jade Helm 15. And again, when I went back and I looked at my notes, I'm like, I forgot all about that bit of crazy. And in fact, you know, I had to remember it and bring it up. But, you know, it's just gotten worse and worse as we forget what happened, you know, just a couple of years ago. So it's easy to forget history, kind of easy to rewrite it as well, which is why I've asked Jason Stanford to come back and talk with us. Jason's an author. He's also the chief officer of communications and community engagement for one of our country's largest school districts in Texas. He's got a book out, Forget the Alamo. One of those things where maybe everything we knew about the Alamo, not actually accurate, but here to share some thoughts on, well, that and Jade Helm 15. I've got Jason Stanford here. Jason, thanks for taking time for us.
Of course, Rick. Thanks for having me.
So I couldn't help but be just struck by the fact that I'm talking to you today about conspiracy and rewriting history and all kind of craziness. And the last time we spoke was over, you know, Obama's going to take over the country with the military, even though he was commander in chief, and it was going to be the end of America. And look where we are today.
Yeah. Back then, Jade Helm was this wild conspiracy theory about how this secret conspiracy was going to take over our country, which was pretty much how January 6th played out. You know, a wild conspiracy come to life. Back then, it was a hypothetical. Now they're just LARPing it. And the only difference is the day of the week. You know, back then it was crazy. Right now it's Tuesday.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's nuts. And, you know, but here's the thing. I go back to that Jade Helm thing. And I remember, you know, it got crazy. And then it got even crazier. Kind of like today. We've got your mainstream kookery. And then you've got the Q kookery who have gone it even further. They tied Jade Helm 15 to an asteroid or a meteor coming to destroy the planet. And it was all kinds of nuts that went on even further than the Obama's taking over the world.
Yeah. And I hate to bring it back to Texas, but being a Texan, I just have to. When the abortion bill passed and I saw all those reporters out there say, well, it looks like all the alarmists were right. I'm like, yeah, we've been telling you all along. When Jade Helm happens, we said, this is crazy talk and it's dangerous. And all you guys said, oh, it's just crazy talk. Not you, but the mainstream journalists were like, oh, this is just crazy. We don't have to take it seriously. In Texas, the crazy talk is legislated into law. And now it's become national law. Now it's become the National Republican Party. And now the crazy has taken over. It used to be the mainstream Republicans could keep them in a closet and get their votes, but not let them near the sharp knives. And it's just not that way anymore. Now they're all terrified of these people. Kevin McCarthy looks like the biggest coward in the world because he can't say no when they say the sky is, you know, magenta and it's blue.
Yeah. No, in fact, I just had a conversation with Joe Walsh, a former Tea Party congressman. And he's like, look, you know, the Republicans, outside of the Gates and the Marjorie Trader Greens and the Lauren Gun Nut Boberts and them, outside of those fringe elements, the Republican Party's full of a bunch of cowards who won't stand up because they know the truth. They knew what was in that memo yesterday before any of us got to see it. They knew what was happening. They know there was no voter fraud. There was no ballot stuffing. There was none of the things that the MyPillow guy and Rudy Giuliani were spewing. Yet they still encourage it and they're still pushing it.
Yeah, they have turned the truth into something that is politically toxic in their party. And, you know, being a Republican, being in Texas, I've got a lot of friends who are Republican in politics. And, you know, they freely admit privately that they just have to check the Trump box. They have to do it. Otherwise, the primary voters will turn on them.
It's true.
And if they don't do it convincingly enough, like George P. Bush hasn't done here in Texas, they're never going to win again. And the only way you can win a Republican primary now is to prove you are loyal to Trump. Yeah. It has survived his presidency.
No,
I think that is what is going to make wins in 2022 possible, even here in Texas.
Yeah, and I think the perfect example of what you're talking about is happening in Ohio with Representative Gonzalez, who was an Ohio State football hero, beat Michigan single-handedly. I mean, he was on the level of gods until he came out against Trump. And now they're ousting him from the party. So, you know, it's not just Texas. It's places like Ohio as well. I do want to get to the book, though. Forget the Alamo. Why should we forget the Alamo?
Well, it's kind of like what with Trumpism today. Telling the truth has become politically disloyal in Texas. And it's funny. I keep trying to explain to people, we know George Washington owned slaves. We're comfortable with that. We can hold these two truths in our head at the same time, that they enslaved people, that also created the greatest democracy in world history. We can hold these two things in our head at the same time, but Texans can't. It's like we never got rid of our lost cause history. The South had their lost cause history, and that's largely been debunked. Robert E. Lee got taken down in Richmond, Virginia, but we freak out when we even suggest that the Texas Revolution was fought over slavery. That is the most controversial, disloyal idea that we can come up with, and it's settled law among historians, but it's politically incorrect. And that's why when we had a book event, I have two other co-authors, so I say we had a book event at the State History Museum. The lieutenant governor canceled it on us because he did not want the State History Museum to sanction our book by hosting a discussion of it. We were banned by the State History Museum for deigning to want to talk about state history.
but again, this is that mindset, because we can't talk about history unless it's the approved Texas history. And
exactly.
Look, Texas has an overweighted power in this entire country, because most of what's mm-hmm. written in textbooks comes out of freaking Texas, where we can take we take Benjamin Franklin out of history, but we can put Phyllis Schlafly in.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, it was Thomas Jefferson we took out, but I get you. So with the Alamo, it was really weird. So the fight on the State Board of Education wasn't whether or not it was fought over slavery or not. It was whether we were going to include Tejanos as heroes of the Texas Revolution alongside Davy Crockett and Jim Bowie and William Barrett Travis. And so the compromise was, they wrote into state law that all seventh graders in Texas, when they took Texas state history, had to be taught that all of the people who died at the Alamo were heroic. Nowhere else in Texas state curriculum are we required to teach children that anyone was heroic. Not Neil Armstrong, not Sam Houston, who actually won the dang war, not anyone who liberated Europe from fascism, just those 200 or so dudes who died at the Alamo in a place they never should have been in the first place.
What about the people on the other side? Are they heroic too?
Oh, no, they're still bad. They're evil.
Oh, okay. Because we did that with the Civil War. That, you know, I did a tour here in Gettysburg, where, you know, the guy who was giving the tour was like, you know, even the Confederates, you know, and this and all that, they were all heroes. I'm going, no, one side was traitors.
Yeah.
That's reality. There's no reality. There's no world where both sides can be heroes. One side's the bad guy.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, it's so interesting how we've evolved so far beyond this lost cause history of the South. It used to be valorous. It used to be over states' rights. I even had one Civil War reenactor swear to me that the Civil War was fought over the hat tax in South Carolina. But broadly speaking, that's considered a ridiculous idea. In Texas, it's state law.
Wow.
They created, as a response to the 1619 Project, the Texas legislature passed the 1836 Project, which is when the Texas Revolution was won. And that meant the state legislature created a board of historians to advise the governor on a, quote, patriotic version of Texas history. And what they're going to do is print up brochures extolling the business-friendly virtues and values found in Texas history and give it out to people at the DMV when they get their driver's license. So not only are we politically correct here, we're also extraordinarily dumb and wasteful.
And propagandizing. And look, there are some who go, But Jason, we should have a shared history. We should have one that's a positive history. We should have one that aspires us to be better. You know, we don't want to look at all the ugly, dirty, nasty blood and guts kind of stuff. We want happy stuff. There's enough hate in the world, Jason.
I completely agree with you that there's enough hate in the world. But the way this history has been taught for so long is that it has turned Mexican Americans in Texas into second-class citizens in a state that used to be their country. Over and over again, talking to Hispanics in Texas, we were told that they would walk in with their white friends in seventh grade into the Alamo on a field trip, you know, walk in as Texans and come out as Mexicans and Americans. And I have a friend, he grew up in the 60s and 70s in San Antonio, and after school, they would play Alamo, right? And all the white kids would be on one side and all the brown kids would be on the other, except when they played it, the white kids won. This is told as a story of white supremacy to the point where most Hispanics in Texas, according to a recent poll, don't know who won the Battle of the Alamo.
Wow.
When the Mexicans did. Yeah, this is told as a story of good and evil, and it's perverted to the extent where Mexican Americans in Texas internalize that they are the bad guy. And that does two things. One, it either really makes them mad, or two, it makes them disassociate with their own state's history. And they just consider the creation myth of Texas as white people's history. Like, there's so many people in San Antonio, a dominantly Hispanic city, who never go to the Alamo, and it's in the busiest part of town. It's right in the center of town. And it's just, that's other people's business.
Interesting. And look, and we're in this moment right now of fighting over history. And I have people who say, well, we need to teach critical race theory. We don't, absolutely not. We need this project, that project, the other project. I just want truth. I just want my kids to be presented with what actually happened and give them the tools to critically examine, think about, and come to some conclusions on all sides, good, bad, indifferent. Isn't that what education should be about?
Well, that's what societies are supposed to be about. We're supposed to evolve in our understanding of ourselves. And we get smarter as we go on. A couple hundred years ago, long division was taught at Yale. We get smarter as we go on as a people, not just individually, but because we learn from each other. And if we have politicians enforcing a primitive and false understanding of our own history, we don't evolve. That's what happened in the Soviet Union, where that now they're just willing to believe anything. When I lived there in 92, 93, Russians had paintings of UFOs on the wall. They believed anything in Russia because they'd been lied to for so long. This kind of thing trains a people, an entire society, to be lied to. Well, that explains Texas about as well as anything.
No, that's great. I mean, but it puts us in the place that we're in now, because I'm sitting here in this moment going, you know, I don't know how we've become this polarized country over something, over a vaccine, where you go, this could save your life. Where, you know, 20 years ago, I don't know that it would have been this big of a divisive issue. It's everyone has their own. And thank you, Trump administration, alternative reality. They've got their own alternative facts. We've now got alternative histories. I mean, was it Glenn Beck who wrote the book about the founding fathers, where he got an opinion from George Washington's horse? I mean, it's become so ludicrous that you go, what do you believe? And look, they're great at flooding the zone so that nothing is believable and everything is believable.
Well, you know, it depends, frankly, Rick, on which end of the horse he got his opinion from. But I don't know if divisive and divided is the right way to understand what we're going through now. Like, on one side, we've got people who believe in science and the spherical shape of the planet, and that up is up and down is down, and that climate change is real. And we're all just trying to adjust to this crazy world. It's not that there are two different opinions. It's that there's one truth, and then there's the crazy drunk uncles who you don't want to sit next to at Thanksgiving are slowly taking over the world because the guardrails have fallen. You know, objective journalism has allowed them in to teach us all that, oh, there are two sides and we're divided. We're not.
No, you're spot
Democrats,
on.
And most of us, even in Texas, are united around the truth, but these guys have amassed enough power to, if they can't control us, they can at least stop progress as they are in Washington. Here in Texas, we got that horrible anti-abortion bill where people can, you know, file a lawsuit if the Uber driver gave someone a ride to Planned Parenthood on the off chance that maybe it was before 6 weeks or after 6 weeks. 80% of this state is against that, even 4 in 10 Republicans. Like, there is enough of a reality-based constituency here to sell it, but we've allowed them so far into power that now a small portion of the state in Texas can control the state through Republican primaries. And because of the way the Supreme Court is set up, and because of the way, you know, because we don't give every American a vote in the Senate, because we give, you know, because we have an agrarian political system in a modern world, a few crazy people can control the country.
And this is where we are. No, you're spot on. So back to the book, because I find it fascinating that we're going to chuck everything we know about the Alamo. Where can we get Forget the Alamo first? Let's start there.
Everywhere good books are sold. I like bookshop.org. It's the Amazon for independent bookstores. And you can request from an independent bookstore. You can just get it, you know, you can request a specific one, or they'll just give it to you from one of them. Obviously, Amazon has it. The book was so popular after we were banned from the State History Museum that it sold out on Amazon twice in 1 week, but they're plenty stocked up now.
Good, good. I was going to say, now you can retire, right? Did you send the thank you to the Lieutenant Governor?
We are grateful for the publicity, but there is nothing less successful than a successful writer.
See, I would send him a signed copy with a thank you note.
I don't know if he could read.
But that's just me. Maybe I'd send him an audiobook then, just because maybe he needs to hear it. So real quick, you know, what made you write this? Why did you think this was an important moment?
It started out just as a myth-busting exercise. One of us was writing a column. Chris Tomlinson was writing a column about how it was a stupid idea to spend $500 million to fix up the Alamo. They're going to redevelop it, get the tourist traps out of there, build a proper history museum. And he said, it's really stupid to do that when it's based on a white supremacist myth. And Brian and I had never heard any of this before. It was a huge shock. And we figured if there's this massively well-known famous myth out there that no one knows the real truth about, that would probably be a good book. And the publisher agreed. But as we got into it, we realized how race-based this myth was and how punishing it was for what will soon be Texas's majority population in a state that used to be Mexico, and how closely tied it was to everything else. The pattern of the Alamo, and that enforcing the political narrative was started on day one. The day after the Alamo fell, they started telling a cover story about how they were heroic, you know, that they fought valiantly and they did something good, and how Remember the Alamo became a revenge cry first. And the Alamo has always been this political myth held up to incite violence. It's LBJ used it in World War II, he used it in the first Indochina War, and then of course he famously used it over and over again in Vietnam when he directly compared Vietnam to the Alamo and as a reason why we should send more troops there.
I'm all in favor.
At some point we should get a hold of our myths because it keeps getting us into trouble.
Absolutely, and this is where I was going. I'm all in favor of things that are gonna open our eyes, because I'll be honest, I learned about this much, about an inch, in a textbook about the Alamo, growing up in Ohio.
In Texas public schools.
I didn't go to, in Ohio is a very, this is what it was, and next. So we got a very, whitewashed version of history. I hope folks will check it out. Forget the Alamo. We'll get links out on how folks can do that. But Jason, I appreciate you taking some time for us. Great talking with you.
Rick, thanks a lot. I really appreciate it. I hope it's not six more years.
I hope so too. Thanks so much, Jason. Appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
Right back after this. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.